Hello and welcome. My name is Cliff Jackson, and it's my pleasure and privilege to bring you a message by Pastor John Coleman entitled, What I Believe About the Bible. Well, I can tell you what I believe about the Bible, and I believe that the Bible is 100% true and correct, that it's a book that is more applicable today than it ever was, that it's a book that's been inspired by God, that it's a book for reproof, a book for correction, a book for teaching, and a book for training so that you, Christian, would be adequately equipped to defend the faith. So that when someone asks you, what do you believe about the Bible? You will have an answer for them. So pick up your Bibles and let's listen to Pastor John as he presents what I believe about the Bible. God bless.
Hello, this is Pastor John, the senior pastor here at the Olivet Baptist Church. How about it, Christian? You've been saved long enough and you have individuals come to you and ask you a lot of questions. The questions that pertaining to the book that you use as a believer called the Bible. And I believe that many times when we are asked these various type of questions that we're kind of put on the spot because the validity that we try to justify ourselves in is what your pastor says or what a commentary says. I believe that we've got to be able to answer the right kind of questions with the right kind of answers. And that can only come from understanding what the Bible is all about. So starting on this particular Sunday night, that's what this series will be addressing. How you can know what the Bible teaches about the book that you call a profitable. Enjoy as you study again. Another 30-minute message, maybe not quite 30 minutes, but a pretty good message from the blessed Word of God. I'll be back shortly. Father in heaven, thank you again for another chance. We take this 30, 35 minutes tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, this Sunday night, we're going to start teaching you, I think, a very important series. And it's going to be a series based upon the Bible, the book of books. And the first question that we ask tonight about the Bible is, can I really believe the Bible? Hey, you believe this book, and it's going to make you a more powerful person. You know, we looked at that football game tonight, and it makes me, Matthew 4 and 4, and it makes me think about, and it makes me think about football books. Now, since the Super Bowl has been played, you're going to see on Sports Illustrated's next magazine, Super Bowl Champ, you're going to see all the pictures and the interesting things and statements that were made in Miami tonight about the winners and about the losers. And if you like that magazine, you're going to take that magazine, you're going to put it in your drawer, you're going to hold on to it. And you're going to have the scrapbook of all the Super Bowl things. It's kind of like if you ever bought that videotape called Highlights of Super Bowl Plays. And all of that, well, I believe that since we as Christians use this Bible as a book of books, what we ought to do is ask this question basically in the form of a subject for tonight. What does the Bible mean to you? You have to ask this question. Is the Bible, the book of books, an authoritative book? Is it infallible and is it inerrant? And we will describe what that means. Very important. Because if it is not that, it cannot be effective in terms of how you live. And then you're going to have to ask yourself this question. How can you tell that the Bible is a book that you ought to follow? You know, somebody may say, well, how do you know that you're a Christian like this morning? And you say, because the Bible says that Jesus loves me. The Bible says that I am saved by grace. As a believer, how do you answer these kind of questions? Do you leave the answering of these questions just to your pastor for you, or can you answer those questions? Matter of fact, Jody may ask you, Elvin Jr., how do you know anyhow, big brother? How do you know that it's not all a hoax? Jody may walk around at 18 and a half years old and say, you know, it could be a hoax. Maybe daddy's been beguiled. How do you know that your sons aren't going to grow up Melvin McDaniel? And say, daddy, come on, you got that book over there and you're always reading that one more than you read the other one. How do you know that that book is not a lie and all those guys lived and all that stuff happened? It's questions that you got to ask yourself. You can't leave the answering to me. You're going to have to do the answering yourself. This book, the Bible, is the book that we stake our Christian profession upon. Therefore, we should be able to address questions. And the first question that I ask is, why is the Bible our authority? And that's the kind of question that you've got to ask yourself. Why is the Bible your authority and not Look Magazine, Time Magazine? I'll answer by saying, because we believe that the scriptures are the actual words of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 identifies this very important principle to us. I believe that the Bible is a book of authority because of what the Bible says. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let me tell you what that word inspiration means. All scripture, Elvin Jr., is God-breathed. The man that spoke scripture, the Apostle Paul, in this text, it was as if God literally breathed out his word through this man. So he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and this scripture, the Bible, is profitable for doctrine. That's why we don't get doctrine from outside of the Bible. For reproof, that means that the Bible reproves you, Melvin. For correction, the Bible is my correction. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be made perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. My answer to those that ask the question, why is the Bible my authority? Because it is the literal words of God. The Bible is not men's opinions. The Bible is the word of God. I accept that. I address that. It's not human philosophy. If you do this, then that'll happen. It is not a check and balance book. It is literally the word of God that we believe. The Bible is not the pooling together of men's best thoughts. The Bible is literally God's words. We believe that God is a what? A spirit, right? A spirit is an invisible deity that you cannot see, but one that purposes his life in us. Secondly, God's word is infallible. In other words, this term infallible means that the Bible is our rule of faith and practice. If you want to find out what the rule of faith and practice for the Christian life is, read the Bible. That's how you're going to find out. You know, how many times have you asked yourself this question? Really, Pastor John, I don't seem to know what God wants me to do. Well, you can find out what God wants you to do by reading the Bible, because it is rule of faith and practice. Jesus said this in John chapter 5, verse 39. He says, search the scriptures, for these are they that testify of me. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus said, my word is infallible. It is a rule of faith. Search it, and you find out what I want you to do. That's why I believe the Bible. The Bible says in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect. So I realized something about my Bible. You know, I just saw Ricky walk in. He has one in his hand. He has a Bible in his hand. That's important. When Christians come to God's house, they believe that the Bible is the law of the Lord, and it's perfect. Therefore, it's flawless. When I say that the Bible is infallible, it's flawless. Totally perfect. Totally complete. We'll get into the error a little bit later. It is the only book that has never made a mistake. Never made a mistake. There are no mistakes in it, but the men that wrote it made mistakes. Let's look at Abraham. When he's traveling with his wife, Sarah, he was coming into the different countries, he lied. Let's look at David. He was standing up on his rooftop and saw Bathsheba bathing, and he lusted. Let's look at Simon in the New Testament. When he saw what the apostles were doing by the power of the Holy Spirit, he wanted to buy the Holy Ghost. Let's look at Ananias and Sapphira. They sold a piece of property and gave a portion of the money and said they gave it all, was struck dead. They lied. I did not say that people in the Bible were not perfect. I said that the Bible is perfect. That's why when we ask this question, what does the Bible mean to you? You should say, hey, man, the Bible is infallible. It is our only rule of faith and practice and doctrine. We as Christians do not need another book. Now, the Mormons use the Bible and the Book of Mormons. The Jehovah's Witnesses use the Bible and their teachers' writings. All, practically all false doctrines have another help book to go along with the Bible. We as Christians read other books, but the book of books that we use and depend upon are the blessed scriptures, the Bible. Therefore, the Bible is unfailing in its purpose. If you want a good definition for infallibility, it is unfailing in the purpose. In other words, the doctrines of the scriptures are unfailing. What God says must take place. Third point, what about God's word, your Bible? It is inerrant in all of its parts. Now, what I mean by inerrancy is a little different from its having the ability to fail. It means that the Bible is totally free from any and all error. There's not one mistake in it. When I preach from it, when I teach from it, when I study it, when I read in the Bible and I see that Ruth and Naomi were in love with each other as daughter and mother-in-law. When I read through the Bible and see that Samson was a mighty strong man but fell because of the lust of the flesh, it is without error. Proverbs 30:5 says, every word of God is pure. That means flawless. That's what inerrant means. In regard to Scripture, inerrancy and infallibility go hand in hand. Now, let's do a little research so you can see this. And I want you to mark these scriptures down so that you know this and have this. And why don't you with me turn to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Turn there quickly. Numbers in the Old Testament, chapter 23, verse 19. Now, since I said up in the other part of the scripture that the Bible is our authority, that's why I said to turn to Numbers 23, 19. You're not going to ever hear any good pastor preach and say, well, you believe this because I said it. I want you to believe this because God has said it. Verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. Now, this is a powerful verse. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? In other words, what God is saying here through the prophet Moses, God's not a man. Don't try to bring him down to that level. If God's word is true and the standard by which we live by, God cannot lie. And I'm going to give you a New Testament scripture that goes along with this, because you might say, well, Deuteronomy 23:19 is just for the Old Testament, and we're in the New Testament church. And I want you to mark that down. That 19th verse, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent or change his mind or go back on his word. Now, let's go all the way over to the New Testament, and I'll give you time to find the book of Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, that's where we want to go. Titus 1. And as you go to Titus chapter 1 and get ready to read with me verse 2, we're going to see the same thing being addressed by Paul to Titus. Now, this is wonderful because when you look at this, you're actually going to be able to identify it. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Before the world was even created, God promised that eternal life would be yours. And we see Paul writing, saying exactly what Moses wrote, God can't lie. That's how come I believe the Bible is God's word. We're asking the question, what does the Bible mean to you? It means everything, because God can't lie. This is his holy word, and he'll never repent from what he said. More scripture to back that up, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Just go over just a few books. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Now, you're going to hear this word in this ministry at Olivet for years. And Elvin Jr., I want you to understand what this word means right now. For it says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. In other words, the writer of Hebrews says that the immutability means the unchangeableness of God. He says we have two unchangeable things. And the first is that it is impossible for God to lie, and we have consolation in him. I'm answering the question, what does the Bible mean to you? Can I really believe the Bible? Is the Bible the book of books? We just read from Titus, from Hebrews, and from Numbers. And we find out that scripture is inerrant. In other words, that definition again, it is unfailing in its purpose in doctrine and in scripture. Now, let's end this up in a conclusion, because I don't want to keep you here all night. I know that the Bible is important to me because, number one, it is true in every aspect. Everything that is stated is absolutely true. Now, I'm going to tell you some things you're going to have difficulty believing. And I'm just going to choose one right out of the blue. We were speaking about it at your home for the fellowship. Jesus walking on water. Can you explain that, Melvin? No, I can't either. But we have the evidence of certain witnesses that said that they saw it. One witness stepped off the boat and said, if this is really what I'm seeing, let me come to you. And the evidence of the writ is that he did it. There's a lot of things in the Bible that you might find hard to believe. There was a prophet out in the valley of dry bones, men's dead bones. And the Spirit of God spoke to this prophet and said, a man of God, son of man, can these bones live? And he said, you know. And then the voice of God said to the prophet, speak, son of man, to these dry bones, that they might live. And the prophet spoke to the dry bones. And then it says that the bones began to come together. Muscle and flesh got on the bones. And they were standing as a mighty army to fight for Israel before the prophet. You might say, do you actually believe that, Pastor John? Well, I've got a better one for you than that. Tomorrow morning when you get up, the earth would have rotated on its axis for the umpteenth time, and is not off 1 second. And God has set it in motion, and man in his mortalness cannot stop it. So we see that my thoughts and my words and my behavior, secondly, are governed by the word of God. If God has said it, I am governed by what he said. When describing the Bible, I prefer to say that it is infallible. In other words, the Bible is something that I can stand on. Men, it is authoritative. That means that the Bible has become our source of direction. It is inerrant. That means that the Bible is completely without error. And lastly, it is completely true, because the Bible is the word of God, and it is therefore as God is. Now, as we continue next week, we're going to continue to look at this very important issue. And the reason that I'm speaking about this issue is because when men challenge you, they're going to challenge the word of God. And our text for tonight as I close, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And another key scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture, same scripture that Jesus is talking about, is given by inspiration of God. God inspired. And Jesus said, lastly, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are the scriptures which testify of me. When it comes down to the showdown, I think that it's this kind of a question. How well versed are you in Bible? Not in church membership, but in Bible. And if you continue to study with us on these Sunday nights, you will understand what the Bible means to you. Let's pray. Thank God for this wonderful book. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the blessed word of God, the Bible, the book of books. Lord, this book will never grow old. There is so much in it, we can never exhaust it. And in this book, Lord, we find you speaking to us these wonderful words of our Christian experience. Bless these men that have gathered out tonight, not on this special night, but gathered out and taken the extra effort to again look through the pages of your word. Father, might we ever be loyal and faithful to your word, and might our faithfulness bring us your reward of just well done, thou faithful and good servant. Have us to know that believing the word of God works for our eternal salvation. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Just knowing that the word of God is our mandate, it brings me, as well as you, I believe, a great privilege to be able to be governed by that very same word of God. Isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic to know that? Not even 30 minutes, because I don't think that it takes necessarily 30 minutes to get things done in that way. But since you've audited this tape, I want this tape to be one that's going to be a lasting teacher for you. Are you listening?